Chapter 4. Unhelpful Self-Help. Charlie sighed contentedly as she slowly stirred awake. She hadn't slept that well in a long time. Her bed was extra comfortable this morning, and she just felt so cozy, like she was wrapped up in a warm hug. Wait, this warm, cozy thing she was snuggling with was someone's chest, which was attached to an arm that was draped over her. She opened her eyes to see Alistair lying next to her.
"Holy shit!"
she yelled, scrambling away from him. In her panic, she fell off the bed and kicked him in the face. It sounded like she knocked over a loudspeaker. Alistair stirred.
"Ow!"
he said flatly.
"Sorry!"
Charlie swirled her fingers in the air, sending sparks of magic that danced along the bump forming on the radio demon's cheek. He rubbed the spot and glowered at her with his eyes, smile pulled tight.
"Sorry!"
she said again as she began gathering up the papers that were scattered across the bed.
"I didn't mean to sleep with you."
Her eyes shot wide.
"Shit! I mean, I didn't mean to sleep on you."
Alistair sat up and smoothed out the wrinkles on his shirt. He didn't seem to even notice her slip of the tongue.
"Quite the roundhouse kick you've got there, my dear."
She laughed nervously.
"Sorry,"
she said for a third time. She could feel her face heating up in embarrassment and turned towards her desk to distract herself with the papers in her hand. As she was organizing the piles, she caught a whiff of something funky. She sniffed her shirt and realized with mortification that it was her. When was the last time she changed her clothes? The night of the hotel social? That was 2 days ago. Her face got even redder. She'd been cozied up all night to Alistair while smelling like a dirty armpit. She had been cozied up all night to Alistair. She needed a shower, gather her thoughts for the day, and get the hell out here. It was orientation day for the new hotel guests. She had to stay focused.
"I'm gonna go shower,"
she blurted out, leaving Alistair and his bruised face alone in her bedroom. A short while later, she was sitting at the kitchen counter, watching her father flip pancakes on the griddle. Lucifer had insisted that one of his contributions to the hotel would be cooking a big pancake breakfast every Sunday. Charlie enjoyed the budding tradition and seeing everyone in their pajamas as they shoveled the syrupy goodness down their throats. Her father slid a plate in front of her and gave her an affectionate pat on the head. Her pancakes were adorned with two strawberry eyes and a whipped cream smile.
"Can I grab two more to go?"
she asked as she popped one of the strawberries into her mouth.
"Do you have a parasite or something?"
Nifty asked as she scurried down the counter with the syrup dispenser. She dumped half of it on Charlie's pancakes.
No, they're for Alistair.
She saw her father's shoulder tense.
He's working on something for me, so I figured I'd take up some breakfast for him.
So, we're bringing him room service now, Lucifer grumbled. He slammed down hard on the pancake he just flipped. Charlie shrugged apologetically.
I'm just being a good business partner.
Her father begrudgingly obliged, tossing two very burnt pancakes onto a plate and crudely spraying a frowny face of whipped cream on them. The princess thanked him with a kiss on the cheek and headed back towards her room. On her way there, she passed by the communal study. She stopped, pursing her lips in contemplation. They had a growing collection of books in there, ones she personally vetted to ensure they were beneficial for the rehabilitation of her hotel guests. She felt bad that Alistair was already going stir-crazy after only 2 days, and knew she wouldn't have much time to entertain him today, what with the new tenants arriving before lunch. Quite frankly, she was glad he would be confined to her room for this. She didn't want him meddling and sending these sinners running out the door before they even put their bags down. Still, she figured the least she could do was grab him something to read. She tucked a few books under her arm.
"Breakfast!"
Charlie announced cheerily as she entered her room. Alistair was leaned against the window, entertained by something down below. There was a drunken imp stumbling down the sidewalk, shouting profanities at anyone who passed him. Alistair wriggled his fingers, and a tentacle popped out of the sidewalk, then immediately flopped over limp. He gave a frustrated hiss.
Daddy's Sunday pancakes?
He eyed up at the plate in her hands and scoffed.
No, thank you.
The princess rolled her eyes and placed the plate on her bedside table. Men in their pride. She knew he'd eat them as soon as she left.
We've got a lot going on today, so I won't be back until pretty late. Razzle will bring you up dinner later. I asked him to stick around, so if you need me for anything, he'll come and get me.
How thoughtful.
Alistair said sarcastically as he returned to his people watching.
I brought you some books, too. Something to pass the time.
The radio demon gave the books a suspicious look over, then snatched them from her hands. His eyes narrowed as he read off some of the titles. Nap Your Way to Success, A Procrastinator's Guide to Self-Improvement. Me, Myself, and My Inner Child. Existential Dread for Dummies. It Won't Be Okay, and That's Okay. He peered down at her from behind his monocle.
What is this garbage?
They're self-help books. It's kind of the only thing we've got in the library right now, but come on. I'm sure there are some tidbits in there that even you can benefit from.
With a sinister grin, he stepped over to her desk and dropped the books in the wastebasket.
I used to murder these type of flim-flam men who tried to convince people that some overpriced words on a page would somehow fix their pathetic lives.
Charlie rushed over and dug the books out of the trash.
They're not meant to be some kind of magic solution for your problems. They're meant to empower you and take your life into your own hands and make it better yourself.
A fool's errand, truly.
Charlie exhaled sharply out her nose, determined not to let him get under her skin. She turned to face him.
What's your endgame here, Alistair?
I don't have much on the agenda today, my dear.
No, I mean in general, at this hotel.
He looked amused at her impromptu interrogation.
I thought I made my intentions very clear when I got here. I'm bored. I want entertainment. And this hotel entertains me. For the time being, at least.
So, one day you're just planning on abandoning me?
She paused.
Abandoning us, I mean. And all the work we've done here?
He chuckled.
You make it sound so personal. No. One day I'll decide this arrangement has ended. We'll tie up whatever loose ends we have, and that will be that.
He stepped closer and brushed his knuckle against her cheek.
That's just business, sweetheart.
You still don't believe in what I'm doing here, do you?
Alistair tapped a finger on his chin and looked genuinely thoughtful for a moment.
I supposed I believe in your cause more than I did when I first got here. That's something, isn't it?
Charlie was pleasantly surprised at his answer. Maybe the radio demon wasn't such a lost cause after all.
You know what? I'll take it.
The clock tower struck 10 as Alistair watched another milquetoast sinner scurry away from the hotel. He raised his fist, summoning a tentacle that tripped them. With a satisfied sneer, he watched as their bags spilled open and they fumbled down the hilly sidewalk. 3 out of the 10 new hotel guests abandoned their dreams of redemption before their first night. Those statistics weren't terrible, he supposed. Even if all 10 of them had left, dear sweet Charlie and her unwavering positivity would have still found a way to spin that into a good thing. He sat down on the bed, feeling drained from exercising his powers all day. His shadow slinked along the walls, looking annoyed with him.
As if you're doing anything to help our current predicament.
He snapped at it. He laid back and stared at the canopy above him, wondering when the princess would return. He was sure she'd burst excitedly through the door and immediately start gabbing to him about their new guests and all the creative ways she was going to save their souls. Even though he still thought this whole endeavor was foolhardy, her hard work was paying off. Dare he say he was even a little happy for her? Alistair drummed his fingers on his chest, feeling restless. He glanced over at her desk where the stack of books laid. With a shrug, he summoned one of them into his hand. Might as well entertain himself with some bad advice. The book was entitled The Work Wife Handbook, How to Keep Things Professional, or Not. He flipped to a random page. Chapter 3. Boundaries, like time reports, are mandatory. Sharing a communal coffee mug, taking trips to the bathroom together so you can gossip about Karen between the stall walls, rigging a complex series of mirrors between your cubicles so you can see each other's reactions to Jamal's failed attempts at schmoozing the boss? It's cute until it becomes excessive. Remember, this isn't some British-turned-American workplace comedy. Your co-workers, not soulmates, respect each other's personal space, both physical and emotional. Ah, yes. He was sure that proper workplace etiquette was the ticket to getting into heaven. He should suggest this excerpt to Charlie for one of her silly lectures. Thoroughly amused, Alistair flipped to another chapter. Chapter 6. Setting your heart, not the printer, on fire. That's not the smell of microwave fish in the break room. Love is in the air. If you and your sweet office princess find yourselves catching feelings, follow these rules. Rule number one, ignore all HR policies. They're just suggestions, right? Rule number two, office plants are your best wingman. Rule number three, make sure there's a lock on the inside of the supply closet. Rule number four, Gary in accounting probably wasn't going to use that chair anyways. Rule number five, IT is full of weirdos who most definitely read all your sexy emails, so make them extra spicy. Those nerds deserve some excitement. Alistair cocked an eyebrow. He maybe understood three words of that. He glanced over to Razzle, who was napping on Charlie's desk chair.
Any idea what a wingman is?
He asked. The goat demon shrugged.
What about a sexy email?
Razzle blinked one eye and then the other. The radio demon bared his teeth in an annoyed smile.
Do you even understand what I'm saying? I just assumed you know human language considering you wear a silly little suit and bow tie.
Footsteps approached the hallway, and Alistair snapped his fingers, sending the book back to its pile. He didn't want the princess to know he had actually read one of her self-help books, even if it was full of nonsense. He threw himself back on the bed, trying to look inconspicuous. His head snapped up to look at Razzle, and he pointed a threatening finger.
If you tell Charlie I was reading that, I'll dice you up and turn you into gumbo.
Razzle blew a raspberry at him and curled back up to sleep. A few seconds later, Charlie entered the room. She tossed her clipboard on the desk, did a spin, and landed on the other side of the bed with a happy sigh. Alistair turned towards her and propped his head up with his hand.
I take it your welcome party went well?
Oh, Al, it was wonderful!
Charlie hugged herself and wiggled excitedly on the bed.
Everyone was so nice. A few of them left, but that's okay. They weren't ready yet. The ones who stuck around, though, they're so excited to get started tomorrow. Angel and Husk were super helpful getting folks settled in their rooms, and everyone loved the cookies that Nifty baked. It was just great!
She raised a hand to her mouth as she fought off a yawn.
I'm ready to pass out now, though.
She sat up and looked at Alistair. Then her eyes suddenly widened.
Oh, I guess we need to figure out the sleeping situation.
I thought our arrangement last night was fine.
He replied casually as he inspected his nails.
This mattress is certainly big enough for two people.
What? She sprang off the bed. No, that's... I mean, I know last night we... But that was an accident, and I...
Alistair rolled his eyes. He didn't understand why people made such a big deal about these matters. Beds were made for sleeping. When he was a young man, he once stayed in a boarding house where he had to sleep crammed between four burly railroad workers in a bed half this size.
My dear, if you're going to make this a whole thing, then put a wall of pillows between us. Doesn't matter to me either way.
She shook her head, clearly flustered.
I'll just sleep on the floor or something.
Charlie, you're speaking nonsense. I'm not going to steal your own bed from you. I'm many terrible things, but my mother still raised me to be a gentleman.
He stood up and summoned his dress coat, draping it over his arm.
I'm feeling well enough to retire to my own room anyways.
No!
Charlie exclaimed, stopping him by putting a hand on his chest. She looked surprised at her own overreaction and dropped her hand.
Al, you don't even have a bed in your room. I told you you could stay here until you're fully recovered.
A sly smile suddenly spread across her face.
But then again, I did place all the new guests in your wing of the hotel, so you won't be alone up there. I saw Angel hop into the elevator with a few bottles of vodka, so I'm sure they're having a really fun first night.
The radio demon narrowed his eyes. Quite the manipulation tactic. He didn't know the princess had that in her. His grin widened with a crack of feedback. She thought for a moment.
I'll just make myself a little nest in the bathtub. I used to do it all the time as a kid. It's pretty comfy.
He gave a staticky sigh of resignation and sat back down.
Suit yourself.
The princess gathered up a few pillows and blankets and headed to her ensuite bathroom. From the mirror on the door, Alistair watched as she tossed them in the large apple-shaped tub. She fluffed the pillows, then stepped back to look at her little setup with a slight frown. He snapped his fingers. A fluffy down comforter materialized out of thin air and dropped into Charlie's arms. She caught it with a surprised,
"Oh!"
then gave him a sincere smile.
Thanks, Al.
He shrugged and laid back on the bed.
You should probably plug up that drain so nothing crawls out of it while you're sleeping.
He started laughing when she shrieked in disgust and frantically grabbed a hand towel to shove in the drain.
Good night, Charlie.
He sang.
Good night, Alistair.
She slammed the door shut. Alistair laid in the darkness for a while, annoyed that sleep wasn't coming for him despite how exhausted he was. He could feel eyes on him, the same eyes that were always somewhere, always watching him. A jolt of panic shot through him. He rubbed his chest, feeling a strain on his wound like an overworked muscle. He had to get his full power back soon. He stared at the closed bathroom door, finding himself a little disappointed that Charlie had insisted she stayed on the other side of it.